That's right when my stomach started to go like this. My name's Beth. I'm an addict. And I want to say thank you to my higher power for keeping me clean, and to the convention committee for asking me to speak, and to apologize to them very much for my being late. It is a character defect of mine that's been exacerbated by having twins. they're five now. They're awesome. They're over here. I began using in my early adolescence and used for about 10 years, went to all the places you guys are familiar with. I know that when I say I'm an addict in a room of Narcotics Anonymous, everybody in the room who's an addict knows 90% of my story already right off the bat. So you don't need to know what that part was like. We all lived that part. When I hit an emotional bottom at 22 and finally took the advice I've been given so many times and took myself to a 12-step meeting. Haven't found it necessary to use since then. That was sometime in the early part of February 1985. And I used Valentine's Day as my clean date because I just really couldn't remember. I know it was sometime before then, but it's a nice day, you know. I was introduced to the steps. I heard a lot about them in the meetings. Got a sponsor pretty early on, service commitment. Somebody gave me a key to a church, and I thought, people just don't know. And they taught me how to make coffee, because the first time I did it, it was terrible. So they taught me how, and that was good. I was able to take directions. I got my start in recovery. And it's interesting. People would talk about traditions, or the topic of the meeting would be traditions, and people would go, roll their eyes. It's like, it's history class, algebra. Over the years, I've really come to love the traditions. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I don't think I can express how grateful I am for the life that Narcotics Anonymous has given me. The beautiful friends, relationships, family, old relationships renewed, self-esteem, all the inside stuff. I mean, that's all from getting to live this program. And without the traditions, we wouldn't have a program. The traditions hold these rooms together and keep us from screwing it up, you know. So I really, really appreciate them. In the meeting that I attend regularly, we write out of the step working guide, we work on one step, we do a section a night. We have 20 minutes in the meeting to write, and then we share. And after we get to the end of one step, we do a tradition that night. So at the end of the first step, the next meeting, we answer four questions on the traditions. So we just read the whole tradition out of the It Works How and Why, and then we answer these questions. And it's a really interesting way to look at them and to review them regularly. And I think about stuff that I hear in meetings and what I hear people say in meetings and when they quote the traditions, and I'm like, well, it didn't sound exactly like that when I read it in the book. But I think it's a great education. And the questions ask us, what experiences have I had with the traditions? How do I practice these traditions in my life? What are the principles that this tradition teaches us? Just like, the principles that it talks about in our opening readings, that our program is a set of principles. Our program is a set of principles, the principles that the steps teach us and the principles that the traditions teach us, and now the concepts teach us as well. So, tradition three reads, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And this speaks to who can be here and who can't. Basically, there's no who can't. It's not my decision to make. It's up to the person, because they're the only one who can know for themselves if they have a desire. The tradition asks us to as members, that we have no reason to judge each other. Now, it's human instinct to judge. It's a character defect, I guess, it can be to an extreme. But if there's a way to get out of being judgmental at all, I haven't found it yet. So if you have, could you come talk to me after the meeting? I would love to get away from that. I still compare my insides to other people's outsides. I still question whether what I think somebody else said is right, and maybe it's just whether it's right for me or not. One thing that I've gotten better at is keeping all that to myself, and that's really important for me. The text also talks about we try to make sure that that any addict who attends our meeting is not turned away. It's very important that everybody feel welcomed here. You know, I walked into my first meeting and I truly, truly expected people to say, you know, she doesn't smell very good. We ought to, you know, ask her to go, or, you know, can't come in here dressed like that, or, but they didn't. You know, they said, welcome, and they hugged me, and they said, keep coming back. And they gave me their phone numbers, I mean, their home phone numbers. And a meeting list, you know, this is where we're gonna be, you know, come see us again. And that was not commonplace in my life at all. Now I have heard people say, oh, well, that person's not gonna get clean, or that person just can't stay clean, or actually to someone, you know, well, how long are you gonna stay clean this time? And, you know, that really hurts me, because who knows? I don't know. That's up to my higher power. That's up to God. You know, that's up to forces beyond me. And I'm not one to say who can stay and who can't, who will stay and who won't. And my job is to stay clean and help others. That is the purpose of my life. That is the purpose of this program, to stay clean and help others. It's not for me to say who those others are. It could be the person in the room that I've been judging. You know, it could be the person who said something to me I didn't like. Who knows? Who knows who it's going to be? I just need to be available for those opportunities. We look instead to help instead of judge. To fan the flame of desire. I think that's awesome. And not to dampen it in any way. Not to, you know, not to question what somebody shares in a meeting. I also wanted to say that I really, really am grateful to the convention committee for changing what they read at the beginning, changing this clarity statement. The thing that was read at the beginning of this meeting is really a very good reading. I mean, it explains why we say we're addicts without being judgmental, without asking anybody to say one thing or another. You know, and if you're new and you need to share in a meeting, just share. You know, just share. And whatever comes out, and just keep coming back, because you know, you'll learn what works for you and what doesn't. And, you know, I was an ander when I came in. There wasn't really any NA where I got clean. There might have been a meeting or two, but I'd never heard of it. You know, and thank God when I did find it, they didn't say, well, you can't say that when you come here. Because, you know, I might not have been, I didn't have enough self-esteem. Maybe I wouldn't have gone back. Maybe I would anyway. But, you know, I was kind of a rebel too, so. Each addict should be allowed to decide if NA is the answer for them. I've been to a lot of meetings all over the United States and a couple abroad. I traveled for business for one of my jobs, and went to some meetings there. It was Amsterdam, of all places. And they had these funny little stores on the corner with paintings on the windows. I understand that there are particular menus in those restaurants. I didn't go in. I decided that probably wasn't an appropriate place for me to be at that time, maybe prior to getting clean. But, you know, I never in any of those meetings felt, even if I didn't speak the language, because I went to a French-speaking meeting and I didn't speak any French. But I was never asked not to speak or not to be there. Never been turned away. I've never been turned away from an AA meeting either, and I've heard that some people have been, and I hope that those circumstances are few and far between. You know, it talks all about judgment and criticism and helpfulness and acceptance and unconditional love. You know, I don't know if I'm really capable of unconditional love. Well, I mean, I know I am now that I'm a mom, because I don't think there's any condition under which I wouldn't feel, you know, the love that I feel for my children. But I know that as a human, I fall short. If I can keep it to myself, that's, you know, that's the best case scenario I think that I've found so far. I love addicts. I love any addict in these rooms in the best way that I can. And sometimes the best way might be saying, you know, I may not be the best person to help you, but here's somebody, you know, who knows, who has experienced strength and hope with what you've been through. And it also talks a lot in this tradition about compassion. And, you know, we learn compassion and empathy. It was a big gift given to me when other people said, oh, I know what that was like. I did that too. And because I've been through those experiences, you know, I've been in fights and I've been lost. I lived in my car. You know, when people share about stuff like that, share about abusive relationships or picking through the carpet, you know, I mean, I understand all those things. And in recovery, you know, I understand challenging relationships, you know, trying to deal with my mother and fighting with my husband. And so if somebody comes into the room and they talk about those things, you know, I have empathy and I have compassion for those experiences. And I can share my experience, strength, and hope with them, which may help them. It definitely helps me. And it's freed me from a lot of regret. You know, there's times in my life when I feel regret over my past, and I didn't need to walk around with that guilt or shame. And being able to share it with somebody else, having somebody share their experiences with me, has given me a lot of freedom. The eighth tradition, I've been thinking, you know, what does this have to do? What does the third tradition have to do with the eighth tradition? So different from each other, it seemed, when I first read it, you know, that Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. And what that's telling me is that there again, I need to apply my humility. You know, humility to me is having a realistic description or understanding of myself, knowing my limitations, knowing what I'm capable of, in, you know, not in an egotistical way necessarily, but just in kind of a objective perspective. And the humility is kind of a fickle thing, you know, because as soon as you say you have some, you kind of don't anymore. It's strange. You know, I feel like there are times when I feel like I know, I understand myself, I know myself to some degree, and, you know, and then I'll walk into a situation and do something all wrong, and I'm like, oh, you know, I thought I was all that, or I said something to somebody, and I really shouldn't have said that, and, you know, I have to look at myself again. And I think that's a really important part of the principles that we learn, is learning how to look at ourselves and see our part. You know, they say the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. And I think that the step from free, from being pissed off to actually feeling free is is the acceptance of our part and the gratitude for being able to see that. You know, the more grateful I am, the more clear understanding I have of myself, it seems the more free I become. And the eighth tradition reminds us that we're not professionals. You know, just because I might have empathy or sympathy for you, I can't tell you what medications you should or shouldn't be taking. I can't tell you, you know, I can't tell you what I think the pain in your head is. Oh, you definitely have a brain tumor. You know, you need to take that out right away. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. It says, you know, we don't provide medical, legal, or psychiatric services. We don't crosstalk in meetings. We don't try and coach people how to deal with their legal issues. Now, experience, strength, and hope is another thing, you know. For those of us who have a lot of experience with the judicial system, there are often times when it's helpful to have, you know, the experience of others who've been through that. We don't sell recovery. Now, that's a tricky one. You know, we sell a lot of stuff that's got NA logos on it. I've always kind of had a thing about jewelry, you know. There's something about that bothers me. I don't know that it goes against this tradition, because it's not really recovery, it's our symbol. But, you know, I don't ask my sponsees to give me $20 after we've, you know, worked their fifth step or something like that, which is really what it means. If someone were to become a counselor or a therapist, that's not really the same as being a sponsor. And I know that in that field it becomes a real problem for some people. A lot of counselors end up relapsing because they think when they go to meetings with their patients, you know, that's a meeting for them. And they really need to be counted separately. Anonymous group service boards, committees. Now, and it's also the other thing about humility is understanding what we can do and what we can't. You know, there's sometimes when Narcotics Anonymous requires professional groups to do things for us, like our child care, for example. You know, we rely on them to provide that service to this convention. I don't know what the final outcome was, but apparently there were some issues with that for this convention. And you know, we know as a fellowship that this is not an area where we can be responsible. We're not going to set up a business that's going to get bonded and licensed in Maryland to take care of children. So we hire this outside organization to do that. And there's a lot of other things in that area as far as, you know, legal issues and financial issues and other kinds of organization that we hire, you know, hire outside people to do office personnel or something like that if that's necessary. But I think the principle of humility in these two steps is, you know, understanding what we can do and what we can't, understanding when we need help. Gosh, learning to ask for help, such a big challenge. You know, I always thought I could just do it myself. And what had happened for me was that, you know, early on in my life, I got a lot of, you know, what I call today questionable advice from the people that I was supposed to trust the most. And, you know, I tried doing what they suggested, and it didn't work. It didn't help. It was actually worse. Made things worse. So I started trying to figure out stuff on my own, and I really didn't have, you know, the right information to do that, the right resources to do that. Instead of going to someone else, because I didn't know about doing that, you know, I tried to figure out stuff on my own, and I got that self-reliance that so many of us come in here with. And so I had a hard time asking for help. I had a hard time taking suggestions. You know, I finally got to the point where I could make a couple phone calls, and usually in that desperate place is when I was really picking up the phone the most and asking for help, but not, you know, but saying, I know. And someone said to me, you know, yeah, well, you don't really know. Because if you knew, you wouldn't be in this place. You know, if you really knew, why would you be feeling this way? And so now I try to think, you know, if I make a mistake and I say, well, I knew better. I say, well, I kind of thought better of it. Like maybe my other idea would have been better instead of the one that I chose. But I asked for help. I've been asking for help a lot recently. I'm doing another fourth step. And so I'm kind of in that four-step place where, like, all of the character defects are kind of really becoming alive. It's like they've always been there, but my awareness wasn't such that I could see them, and so they were all kind of, you know, in the shadows, so to speak. And now they're becoming very real to me. I see myself doing them. I see myself or hear myself saying those things that I really don't want to be saying or doing anymore. And, you know, I know that by myself, you know, I really can't fix them. I can try hard as I can not to do it, but, you know, I really need to get to the sixth and seventh step where my higher power can help me get free of those things. That's really my higher power's job. So I've been trying to kind of jump ahead a little bit. I haven't finished my fourth step, and I haven't done my fifth yet, but I have been asking my higher power to be with me and to try and help me through those things and get me through the hard times. You know, the things that I've learned in here and the life that I've been given, I've got a quality of life that I really couldn't have imagined before. I was so alone and so lost, and you know, the last night that I used, I was home alone. I was coming out of a blackout, and I was on the phone with volunteer firemen. I imagine I'd made many phone calls. It was something that I would do. I would start calling, like, you know, suicide hotlines and stuff like that, just trying to find somebody to talk to, because I didn't really have anybody in my life to talk to. And this guy was telling me to go and ask for help. And when I think about my life now and the situations that I've run into, it's more about, you know, which person should I call? I love animals, and I've had cats ever since I've been away from home. And I adopted a kitten from the shelter when I had about 4 years clean, and she, the last couple months, started getting really sick, and we had to have her put down on Friday, and on Thursday, rather. I went to a meeting, and I shared about it. And, you know, part of my head saying, oh, these people don't want to hear about this, you know, I don't want to whine, you know. And the other part of my head saying, oh, that's your disease talking, because, you know, this is something that's affecting you. And, you know, my ego wants me to look good all the time. And to stay clean, I really can't. You know, you can't save your ass and your face at the same time. And so I went into a meeting and I shared about it and I cried. And, you know, I haven't found it necessary to cry since then. It still makes me really sad and I miss her. But the depth of that feeling, the intensity of it, was lessened. You know, and I'm sure I will. I've got things of hers that I need to, you know. But I've found help in these rooms, and I can always find it whenever I need it or want it. The other thing that's gone on recently is I've really started to kind of reinvest myself in my recovery. I had twins 5 years, it'd be 5 years ago on Monday, and miracle recovery. They told us we had 35% chance of even having a baby, so really miracle. And it, you know, it took a lot of my energy. You know, there was a lot of women in my area who brought meetings to me for a while, several months when I really couldn't go out. And then, you know, it was just a few here and a few there. And people would ask me to share, at a meeting, you know, like to drive an hour and share. And that's something I wouldn't have hesitated to say yes to before I had the children, but it was just, it wasn't something I could commit to. There was just no way I could say for sure that I could be there, and to be away from them for such a long period of time really wasn't possible. It got me out of jury duty a couple of years in a row too. And the woman called me, and I called them up, and I said, you know, I've got 4-month-old twins. And she said, oh, you know, I'll give you a 2-year pass, you know. And then 2 years later, I said, well, I got 2.5-year-old twins, and very nice. And so I got another pass. I had to actually serve this year, which was very interesting to be on that side of the whole judicial process, but a new perspective. So I've been, you know, I've been reinvesting myself and my time, being more available for recovery, more available for sponsorship, more available for answering the phone. I've been, you know, been able to stay late for group consciences and those kinds of things, and I really feel better about my recovery. I feel better about my participation in Narcotics Anonymous. I've been given so much, I don't know if I'll be able to repay it in my lifetime. And now at least I feel like I'm giving back every day that I can, and every bit that I can, and I'll make my best effort toward accomplishing that. I think just to say one last thing about humility, you know, the person that I see when I look at myself in the mirror is not the person that you see. It's not the person that you'll ever see, just like I'll never see what you see. You know, the committee in my head will interpret my actions and my experiences in a negative way for me. They'll always put that negative filter on. You know, I'll always see my flaws. You know, the first thing I see when I look in the mirror is this scar right here, and probably nobody, I ask people, see that, this scar? And they're like, what? I don't even see it. It's the first thing I see, you know. And, But in a broader sense, it's about my insides. You know, you will never see my insides like I see them. You'll never feel my insides. Thank you so much, honey. She's beautiful. My little girl, give me a thing. Paper doll. And I think that, but I don't think that what I see is a humble image. You know, I think that what I see is slanted in a negative way, and that's not humility either. Humility isn't beating myself up, isn't saying, oh, I'm such a bad person. You know, that's not humility either. And, you know, and sometimes I get this perspective from other people that I'm, you know, particularly serene or something like that, and I know that's not true either. So I think I am much more than I was when I got here. But not necessarily in the way that they see me. And I think humility is somewhere in the middle. I think that I need to blend, I need to add, I need to temper the positive, and I need to temper the negative, and find that space in the middle, that gray area in the middle, that really says who I am and what I'm capable of and who I can be. And you know, and I know based on my experience, you know, I'm not who I was, and I don't think I've reached my potential, certainly, but I know that I can get closer as long as I keep working this program. You know, each day that I stay clean, I'm a better, happier person than I was yesterday. I can appreciate the gifts more and maybe pray a little more and let go more character defects and maybe help somebody else, which is, like I said before, it's really my life purpose is to stay clean and help others. And I'm very grateful for having had this opportunity to share. And thank you all.
I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Larry W. from Free State Region.
My name is Larry Namanad. And first, let me, I'm grateful to Tuskegee and Potomac Region for inviting me here, and I'm grateful for to the central area who is hosting this convention. I come from the Free State Region, which came out of the Chesapeake Potomac Region, and I'm from the Free State Region. I'm also from, my area is the West Side area, and my home group is Saturday Night Live in Columbia. If you ever get a chance out that way, please stop, and we'd be more than glad to have you. Well, you know, and I'm grateful to Patty for that lead that she, I mean, to Tony for that lead she gave, excuse me. I'm a little bit nervous. But to be honest with you, to let you know where I'm at with this topic is to say this. First and foremost, when we talk about this topic, we talked about it, the simple fact that honest is, you know, it talks about just the desire to be here. And what comes to mind for me was that when I first came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I had that desire to be here, and it wasn't not something that you could tell me that I had to leave here or nothing else. It was just that I could be here. And I can put it to you like this. For the longest time, I had the desire to be high, and I had the desire because I wanted to be long somewhere, and I couldn't find anywhere I could fit in. And I'm going to go back a little bit about me, and because I'm going to talk to you about me, because that's what I'm supposed to do is talk about me, and that's what it pertains to me. And if I'm not doing that, I don't think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And for me, the desire came, I wanted to fit in somewhere. And everywhere I went, I had no place that I belonged. And I can tell you that when I was growing up, I was the one that I was in the second grade, and they marched me up and down the hall in a dunce cap because I couldn't spell right, because I had a learning disability and didn't even know what it was about. And by the time, after that happened, I went into the Boy Scouts, and schools were getting integrated, and they threw me into a group of all white people, and I'm like, why did they put me here? Don't get upset. I'm not prejudiced, please. And so they did that to me, and I couldn't understand what was going on, and I wanted to fit in, and I didn't fit in. So then I said, well, you know what? I'll try out for the track team. I'll try out for the football team, and I did all of those things, but I still didn't fit in. I was looking for some place to belong, but there was no place that Larry fit in. And after all of these things happened, I still was looking for something. And then, y'all, I guess what? I found drugs. And I fit in. I thought I belonged. And the bottom line was I used until they started using me. And guess what? I had a desire after using for a while, but the desire didn't come from me until the man put the handcuffs on me. Then I got the desire to want to be clean. Because when I was on the back of that bus sitting there and they were talking about, when I get back to so-and-so cell, I'll be happy because I know everybody. I said, I don't know nobody in jail, and I don't want to go back there with them. So guess what? I got the desire to be clean. And I had, believe me, I had tried to get clean all these times before. And I went to a counselor because the counselor had told me, why don't you go to meetings? And I was like, she said, go to meetings. And she said, why don't you try bowling or something like that? I'm like, bowling? Everybody I knew got high. They didn't do no bowling or do nothing like that. It's just crazy. Everybody I know gets high. Because to tell you the truth, the job that I had, I got high. Because I made bongs with my first job. That's what I did out of high school. So everything was around me about the ways and getting and using. And to make a long story short, she told me, and the police, when they arrested me, I got that desire, and I came to my first meeting, and y'all told me, you didn't say it had to be an honest desire. All you had to tell me was that I had to have a desire. And I came into my first meeting, and I sit at the back of the room where that trash can is right there. Because that's the way I felt. And that's as far as I could go, was to that trash can. And that was my desire. My desire was to be in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and find out. And I listened to y'all and I heard something. And I'm grateful to the Rooms of Narcotics Anonymous because y'all didn't throw me out. You didn't say because I was the guy that's standing by the trash can that I had to leave. You told me, keep coming back. And that was the most important thing. And you didn't say, what you didn't tell me that I had to stop right away. Because see, some of us get in here and we think, well, that person went back out, and at the time of being here, we said, look here, you know what? They ain't going to stay clean, so I'm not going to bother with them. But the bottom line, I'm grateful that y'all gave me the opportunity until y'all told me that you were going to love me until I learned how to love myself, and y'all did that for me. And I'm grateful for that. So I stick and stay because y'all were the type of people that y'all are, and y'all told me that there was a better way of life for me. And that's why I stayed here. And what happened was somebody finally noticed me and said, hey, that's the guy that stands by the trash can back there every night. And I was grateful because y'all got to realize who I was. That's the guy that stands by the trash can. And because y'all recognized me, then I moved up a little bit and got to sit in the front seat. All because y'all allowed me to be who I was and didn't judge me, didn't say anything. Didn't matter if I had been in jail. Didn't matter if I ate a trash can. It didn't matter where I came from. Because what I found out about this is these disease is not prejudice. There's lawyers here. There's doctors here. There's ministers here, which I happen to be one now. And there's room enough in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous for everybody. That's what I found out. All right, now getting back to the topic. We made that decision to stay here, and I'm so glad that y'all allowed me to stay here. And then you told me about just keep coming back. And then we go on to the eighth tradition, which talks about the fact that would you pull it out of there? What it says is that excuse me, get a little tongue tied for just a minute. Yeah. That we're never it says that and they should never be professional, but however, our service members may employ special workers. All right. What that means for me is that it's free for everybody. That, okay, it's not professional. I can't be a doctor like she was telling us, and I can't come in here and give you all this information. But at the same time, I made a decision to get better. But at the same time, I can't judge somebody because they want to become a doctor or they want to run a health facility or they want to, because what I got here was to get better. And if a person got better in running a recovery center somewhere, should I be against that person or say something against them because they're running a recovery center? They're clean just like I am. And just because they're willing to do it, that's where humility comes in for me. Because see, I can get great and say, look at that person over there. I don't like them because they're running a recovery center. Look at that. That's going against the traditions of NA and all this is wrong and that's wrong. But the bottom line, I have no right to say that about anybody. Anybody that wants to be here can be here. And if they're helping somebody, why should I judge them? Y'all didn't judge me when I walked into the room to Narcotics Anonymous and stood by that trash can. Y'all said, stand there as long as you want to. It's okay, Larry. It's going to be all right. And if you keep coming back, it's going to get better. See, what I found out is, for me is, I also own a cleaning business. And I clean a meeting facility. For the while, until I lost the contract a couple weeks ago. But the bottom line was, some things in NA, other people have to do. We can't have volunteers to do everything that needs to be done. The translation of the basic text into other languages, we have people that have to do that. And sometimes you got to pay for those things because I don't know. If you wanted to, in German, don't ask me to do it because I couldn't do it for you. So I'm sure we had to pay somebody to do that. And there's different things around this fellowship that has to happen and so that this message can go forth. And if it has to be paid for, then it has to be paid for. But see, it's so easy for me to get caught up and say, they shouldn't be paying for that. Everything is free. What it said was the message is free. The message of recovery is for everybody to be free. It didn't say that there wasn't certain things that were going to happen that we didn't have to pay for. It's a fellowship. She talked about it. You know, you wouldn't want me to go take care of your kids. Because I probably wouldn't know what to do with them. You know, and there's certain things. When we have our literature and all of that stuff has to be handed out, it says our service centers may employ special workers. No, special workers do things. And that's so that the message can be still given freely. So these jobs that these people have, and am I should be against somebody just because they're NNA And they also hold a position because they're in NA, and they also happen to be a person that hands out literature or answers the phone and does those different things. That's where my humility has got to come in. I got to realize that there's a space for them, and those jobs that they're doing is a service to the program. Because everything can't be volunteer. I love the Rums and Narcotics Anonymous because they gave me a life. And I never want to be able to, I never want to be the one to say something against what's going on in Rums and Narcotics Anonymous. Because y'all were here, and y'all gave me the opportunity to live. And without y'all, I wouldn't make it. I say this, and this is what I say all the time. NA will do just fine without me, but I won't do fine without NA. You know, and I'm gonna tell you about humility for me. My son, and I'm gonna tell you about me, because my son is an addict, and he went out and used, and he's been using, so he got arrested. And to tell you the truth, y'all, I was happy because he got arrested. I was having to say, now this is gonna start his recovery. I know this is gonna be the thing that's gonna do it right here. But let me tell you something about my God. My God has a sense of humor for me. Okay, so this is me now. I'm talking about me. Now I told him what he had to do. I said, you're gonna have to start going to meetings, you're gonna have to start doing this, and I started pointing the finger and preaching at him. Guess what, y'all? I forgot to pay a seatbelt ticket after I told him all this stuff. And I'm going back to work, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm just la-di-da, having a good time, good day. The police officer pulls me over, and he says, you got a tail light out. And I'm like, I haven't done nothing, because the addict that I am have never done nothing. That's what I told y'all when I first got here. I ain't done nothing wrong. And what happened out of that was, when that police officer pulled me over, he said, well, you know what? I can't tell you what you did, but I'm going to lock you up. I'm like, you're going to lock me up? Are you crazy? Talking about having a good dose of humility real quick. Because I'm standing on the side of that road with 18 years clean with a set of handcuffs on me, wondering how I got here because I choose to do something that was illegal, not pay a seatbelt ticket. You're supposed to wear a seatbelt in the state of Maryland. And when you do things that are out of character, that you're not supposed to do, guess what happens? You pay the consequences. So I had to call my son and tell him, guess what? Your father's getting arrested. And he said, what? Totally blew him away. And I said, look, you know, I'm getting arrested. He said, not you, not Mr. Goody Goody Two Shoes. Now that you have bribed an NA, you done all this good stuff, and now all of a sudden you think you arrived. Like I said, my God got a sense of humor because I wanted to preach to him and tell him all this stuff. My God had to show me that, hey, look, you know what? You need to back up a few little bars and remember where you came from. That's what my God does for me. He allows me to see things and allows me to be able to change. Because I can't reach somebody if I think I'm better than what they are. I better remember what it was like to stand by that trash can. I better remember what it was when that man put that handcuffs on me that last day out. And I said to him, I didn't do nothing. I better remember those things. Y'all told me if I forget those things, I'll repeat and be right back out that door. And I'm grateful to this fellowship because I love it. I love the Rums and Narcotics Anonymous. I'm telling you, I was scared when I got here. I was scared to get up here and speak today. But I tell you one thing. I didn't want to do it, but somebody told me that, hey, look, you know what? You got to do it because what y'all gave to me, I got to give back. And that's what this program is about. If I'm not giving something back, I'll lose it. You know, that's about it for me. I'm very short-winded. I will tell you, I tell you about humility. Humility to me is being able to let you be where you are and I be where I am and not being so hard-headed that I can't listen to somebody else's opinion because I'm not always right about everything. And being the addict that I am, my self-centeredness, which is the core of my disease, will make me think that, look, because I have to call my sponsor a lot of times and ask them questions. Because if you got yourself a sponsor, forget it. Get yourself a sponsor because you're going to need one. Because I walk into a meeting and I say, look, you know what? They said this in the meeting sponsor and it really upset me. Yeah, tell me in a minute, keep coming back. You know, and I get so caught up with, well, why does, especially with this decision of people coming around here, I get caught up, well, look, you know what? This guy didn't want to pick up another a person that was using and take them to a meeting when they really wanted to go to a meeting. But I can't make that decision for you. You may not want to pick that person up because you may feel that you might use. And if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. Now, I may feel, on the other hand, that I got to pick that person up because I don't want to see no addict seeking recovery need ever die. But that may not work for you, but it may work for me. That does not give me the right to judge you because you decided not to pick him up. And I can be that way because judgmental, because I got that way because my sponsor was telling me about it. I said, look, he wouldn't pick him up, and I got mad about it. He said, look, who are you? If you want to pick him up, you go pick him up. He don't have to pick him up. If you feel that bad about it, you go pick him up. And I had to think about that thing. I can't make the decisions, and thank God I don't make decisions for NA, because y'all would really be in trouble. I have a hard enough time taking care of Larry's stuff, let alone trying to take care of your stuff. So when I keep the focus on me, I got to continually keep working on me. One day at a time, I get better one day at a time. And that's how I grow. And I have to be open-minded enough to let y'all tell me something about myself and not think that I'm so big that y'all can't tell me something about myself. Because I had to come in here and still listen on a daily basis to some things that y'all say, because y'all, that's how I grow, from listening and learning. A change takes place. I am not alone today. I'm glad I made a decision. The decision becomes willingness, and I'm willing to stay here to do what I need to do to stay clean. Because if I don't do that, I will use again. Thank y'all for allowing me to share.
We do have some time left. Does anybody want to come up and share?
Hi, my name is Hope, and I'm an addict. Hello. It's good to be here. I'm very proud of my brother. He gives me strength and encouragement and hope. Three months ago, I relapsed, and it was hard for me with the guilt and the shame, but thanks to Narcotic Anonymous, I didn't have to feel that way. But some family don't understand the situation, and when you do get in a crisis where you relapse, it's somebody you can't come to. But you can always come to the rooms of Narcotic Anonymous. And I'm so grateful to be here because I've been going through a crisis. I lost 4 people in my family back to back on Easter break. Spring break for me, and it was very hard. And then after my family members and my best girlfriend passed away. But the good thing about it, I had the support in these rooms. And I'm a witness. I'm a miracle. I every day I'm a miracle when I don't pick up. You know, it's a up and down. I feel like a roller coaster on a hill, going up, then going down. And I'm thinking, damn, when am I going to get this together? So I just love a lot of Cognizant Anonymous. Like everybody says, this is my family, the family where I can go to and talk to, where I need to lean on their shoulder and cry when I can't do that with inside of my family, my own blood family. I'm starting to do completion now. When I was high, I never got anything accomplished. And I'm graduating in May, something I thought I would never could do, you know, and thank God that I'm getting my head together, shut up and sit still. That's what I have to do. And I was grateful because I was invited here with my family because I was going through a crisis on Thursday. It was a real big blow. I went off, zapped out, you know. I have to learn how to deal with self-control. You know, I have a very bad temper when things don't go my way or I feel somebody that hurt my feelings. But thank God they was here with me at that time because they was on their way to come here on a Wednesday, but it happened Thursday. I'm just so grateful. I'm overwhelmed of this convention, to see everybody here sober. Last night I went to the dance. I danced sober. You know, I didn't think I could dance sober. You know, I just had a great time. And I just thank God, and I'm going to keep thanking God for this program because without this program, I might be dead. And you guys give me a lot of strength and hope, and that's what it's all about. Thank you for letting me share.
Would anybody else like to share?
Hey, my name is Eddie White.
Hey, Eddie.
I want to thank God for my health and strength today. Wow, and it's a blessing, man. You know, I live in Virginia. I drugged in Maryland. I drugged all over. You know, I've been here 20 years now. And in order for me to get here, I had 2 heart attacks. 2. Drugging down New York City, you know. Want to do what I want to do. I didn't want to listen to nobody, you know. But, you know, my first meeting, I got on the subway going to the meeting. My first one, before I go into rehab, got fighting, running down the train tracks. You know, and I had 2 girls that stuck by me, you know. They made sure that I got into a detox. I didn't go for years. I didn't go for months. I only went for 14 days. So, listen, I'm here to tell y'all right now, this program works, but you know what you got to do? You got to work it. And if you don't work it, it ain't going to work. You know, I'm traveling from New York today by myself, you know. But me traveling from New York by myself, I had to have a little bit of heroin, a little bit of acid, a little bit of cocaine, you know. And today, I thank God today I don't have to do that, man. I can walk around with money in my pocket. I can dress the way I want to dress. You know, I like meeting people, you know, because I'm in hotels, you know. That's a blessing for me to come down here by myself, you know, and see everybody trying to help, you know, just to help yourself, you know. This is all about us. You know, this is something that God has given us, but you got to accept it. And I know sometimes we don't want to accept things. And when you don't accept things, you don't get nowhere. You're right back on the street, you know. And be honest, from the bottom of my heart, y'all don't deserve to be out there. You definitely don't deserve to be out there, because I can see the goodness in you. Even if you don't see it in yourself, I see the goodness in you. You know, I sat here and listened to everybody speak a while ago, you know. I said, wow, man, I really need to come down here today. You know, I was up there when I registered a while ago, and the girl said, $30. I said, what? Only $30? You know, that's a blessing for me, you know. That's a blessing. I'm going to be here as long as Jesus Christ, my high power, give me health and strength. I'm never going to go back out. You know why? Because today I'm living a good life. You know, I meet good people. I can go to meetings when I want to go to meetings. You know, I can get into all kinds of business. You know, I'm even like trying to help other people today to get themselves together, to start their business, you know. It's not about, for me, it's not about money. Because as long as I stay clean and keep healthy, my high power is going to give me anything I ask for. And I see that today. You know, a car dealer called me the other day and said, oh, man, it's time for you to buy a new car. And I said to myself, yeah, it's time for me to try to help somebody else too, you know. So that's what I'm doing today, you know. If I got extra money and somebody need it, I just give it up. I don't ask you, when you going to pay me back, you know. It's not about that, man. It's about us helping each other stay clean. We need that for ourselves. We need it. You don't have to go back out. It's not for us. For us today is coming to the room of the Narcotics Anonymous and doing exactly what we need to do. Thanks for letting me share.
Anybody else like to share?
I'm an addict. My name is Sheila.
Hey, Sheila.
God knows I didn't have any intentions of sharing today, but I'm sitting in there in the seat, and I'm here by God's grace and mercy only. And you know, when I read this topic in my book, you know, that I said that I can't miss that meeting. So I got on the line downstairs for some food, right? And it's taking forever, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to miss this meeting. I get up to the front, and what I wanted was shrimp. They and I have not. So I stood on that line, so I said, you know what, let me go upstairs. You know, and I'm sitting there, and God left a little time for me, because this is what I'm supposed to be doing today. You know, I want to share about humility that I had to go through, and like I said, only through God's grace and mercy am I standing here today. You know, I came in this program when I was 44 years old, 1998, and God saved my life that day. You know, I had went through enough. My drug log is like everybody else's, you know. And I came in here, and I did all that was asked of me to do. I gave my will and my life to God. You know, I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I sponsored ladies. I did service work, you know, and every day I would ask for God's will to be done in my life. God blessed me, you know. One promise, many gifts. I got them all. Way beyond my wildest dreams, I got the gift of life. I got the gift of spirit. I got the gift of many, many things. And one day, I decided to take my will back. It was coming up on 8 years. And now, I'm coming up on 18 months. You know, this is an awesome, awesome program. Without God, I don't know what I would be. But I knew when I went out that God was already with me because he already showed me everything he could do. You know, I had to get to the point where I had some more hope and belief in myself, you know. But when I came back, I had to humble myself. I couldn't come back and start where I left off. I had to come back and humble myself. And what I ended up doing was going into the facility that I worked in, and going back to treatment for 28 days, staying in a shelter. It made me so grateful for what I have today. I got a job. I'm an addictions counselor, and I've had my license for a long time. But I couldn't get back in addictions because I had relapsed. So what God did was he humbled me again. My first job was taking care of the elderly, cleaning them up, washing them up. You know what? I felt so good doing that stuff because it let me know. Could have been me. I took care of people who was unable to take care of themselves. Tube feedings. That was my second job. But all along, God was teaching me that if you don't stay humble, but for the grace of God, there go I. And you know, I used to work at night, and I used to have time with just me and God, be talking, you know. And I had to go through all of that to be who I am today. You know, I thought about, and I'm not trying to get religious on y'all, but I thought about back in the day, you know, when people washed God's feet, and they felt blessed. That's how I felt when I was changing adults' diapers. You know, and wiping the slob from their face, I didn't feel like I was better than. I felt like, thank you, God, for getting me back, that I could help somebody else. You know, so I try to stay real humble today. You know, I try to care about others as I have in the past because, you know, I have given my all for Narcotics Anonymous. But this thing works. And by grace of God, I didn't lose my senses to be out there for years and years. I only stayed out for about 6 months. But damn, that was longer than the time when I wasn't out there. Because it do get worse. And you know, I just have to thank God for this program, for the people in this program, and most of all for God. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Anybody else like to share?
Name is Eddie. I'm an addict.
Hey, Eddie.
The topic's humility. Thank both of y'all for sharing y'all experience, strength, and hope. I identify with both of y'all. I'm an addict, right, that still thrive on money, property, and prestige. And like the misinformed information from misinformed people I grew up with. Before I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I was a bona fide racist. And like today, through the program, y'all loving me till I learned how to love myself, I learned how to love others. I had a plan this weekend, my plan. You know, last couple of months, my finances have been real tight. So I had a plan, like something wasn't getting paid. I was making it to a convention, and I was going to enjoy myself because I've been having a rough time. I need to get spiritually filled up so I can deal with the nonsense. So I had plans not to pay a bill. My old lady had plans to pay a bill, so she beat me to the money in the bank and paid the bill. So I'm at a meeting sharing like how disappointed I am not being able to come to this convention, you know, because I don't got the money. And like some men in my area with less clean time than me brought me to this convention, you know. And it's hard for me, right, because I'm still on, you know, image time. Eddie M. don't got no money, broke, with multiple years clean. And like, when I got home last night, and mind you, these is white men. And I told y'all, when I got here, I was a racist. You know, I got home last night from the meeting I was at, and like, I started weeping. You know, my old lady said, "Why are you crying?" I said, "Because I got friends, you know, that don't want nothing from me. That if they knew who I really was, they wouldn't want me around either, you know, and they don't want nothing from me. You know, this program is a program of love, you know, and like I heard the people say, you either show some humility or you get humiliated in the process. And I was weeping. And like the young man told me, right, you know, we just like being around you. You gave so much to us, let us give back to you." And I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm hearing both of y'all share, and I'm squirming, I'm getting uncomfortable, and he opened the floor, and the disease is saying, "Don't you share that, nigga. Don't you... keep you stay right there and stay." But this program gave me so many opportunities that I would never ever had. You know, I got multiple years clean. I lost a job making $60,000 a year. Now I'm back to making under 25. I still got the $60,000 a year bills. But I'm ever so grateful, like, I got y'all in my life. I got a place I can come. I can share my struggles. And, like, I got in touch through my sponsor. Like, me coming in and sharing my hardship, like, isn't dumping on the meat as long as I share the hope, like, I'm not going to get high tonight. Or I ain't going to sell no drugs. Or I ain't going to cause no harm. I'm going to keep doing the right thing for the right reason because... that's how the program works. You know, I really didn't know what I was going to share. I really didn't want to share. But something was eating inside of me to get up at this podium. And, you know, the third tradition, right, I was in a treatment center, and I heard a cat say, like, the message is hope, that an addict, any addict, can lose the desire to use drugs and find a new way to live. The message is hope and the promise is freedom from active addiction. Like, I couldn't fathom the idea, like, a person could really stop using willingly and don't live the way that they used to live. You know, I don't know. I know the program works, and I'm ever so grateful to be amongst y'all. And thank you for letting me share.
Anybody else like to share? Okay, can we close in the usual manner up here, maybe?